it should not be the smugglers who decides who enters European territory.
We are very clear. We cannot accept illegal migration.
One of the key requests by our voters that actually Europe needs to deliver on that.
EPP group members of the European Parliament on the urgency of dealing with migration. The EU's border authority Frontex reports irregular border entries increased dramatically last year to over 355,000, the highest since 2016. The UN says more than 2,500 people died trying to cross the Mediterranean in 2023. And the EU says over 90% of irregular migrants used smugglers. So what's next for Europe? How to secure Europe's borders, fight people traffickers, and save lives? How is the European Union's new pact on migration and asylum, a crucial element ahead of the European elections in June, addressing public concerns about migration? In this episode of the EPP Group's special podcast series, Europe That Protects You, we will also explore the EU's strategies to enhance migration management through partnerships with neighbouring countries like Tunisia, and how to establish a unified European asylum policy, including efficient return processes through the Migration and Asylum Pact.
As EPP, we've been the driving force there.
That's Lena Dupont, an EPP group member of the European Parliament and spokeswoman for the group on the Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs Committee.
We have a toolbox set out within the European Union where you can actually look at it from, let's say, from the external dimension over the question of the management of our borders, over to the principle of responsibility and solidarity sharing at the external border with efficient procedures in order to differentiate between those who are in need of protection and those who are not, while at the same time addressing, let's say, the bottlenecks of the past.
So how did the EPP group secure a breakthrough? By allowing different kinds of solidarity among the EU's 27 countries in dealing with migration. The EPP group's Paolo Rangel explains.
They have to pay if they don't accept to have migrants or, in this case, asylum seekers or even some legal migrants and so on in their own territory. And these amounts will contribute in a very clear way to the return policy. That is one responsibility that they have to take, and also to the common effort of the European Union. So they will have to collaborate with all the effort of the countries that are receiving people.
Repatriating migrants who don't qualify for asylum has long been an issue. Rangel says there's work to do.
We have a deficit, a huge deficit of implementing return decisions. So we have return decisions made by the courts, made by the competent authorities, but then they are not implemented. And these people that should be, I'd say, returned to their own lands.
In any case, the Migration Pact can take pressure off both the frontline EU countries receiving the migrants, as well as the migrants' countries of destination within the EU.
EPP has a very balanced approach because we acknowledge that Europe needs a bigger working force, so we'll need migrants. We have Christian roots, and so we are really defending human dignity in any circumstance, even with illegal migrants. But then we are very clear. We cannot accept illegal migration, and we have to develop all the ways that could bring us only legal migrants that are chosen by us and not by smugglers.
Smugglers, people traffickers, organized crime. That's been a major driver of illegal immigration. Frontex has the figures. Here's Lars Gerdes, Deputy Executive Director at the EU's Border Force.
The absolute majority of migrants need to use smugglers at parts or all over their journey to Europe. And this is an extreme big market, and we know that organized crime groups always act according to business opportunities, and this is a great opportunity for them. We have many reports, and to be absolutely frank here, they are treating the people like cattle. They are abused, they are raped, they get their money and property stolen. There are cases of blackmail from their relatives in their country of origin. It is a terrible, dirty market.
The traffickers make their money from migrants' hopes for a better life, says the EPP Group's Thomas Tobe. So the EU needs to work with the countries where the migrants come from or go through to get to Europe.
It is important to understand that we also need to address the root causes of migration, since we know that the majority of people coming to Europe are economic migrants. So for us, it was really key to make sure that we also can have cooperation with third countries. And that means addressing the root causes, but also having cooperation to take some of the control that smugglers have today, because it is smugglers who decide the volume of migrants to Europe today. And this cannot continue.
That includes reaching agreements with countries, as the EU has done with Tunisia, to control migration flows.
I work a lot in my role as chair in the development committee with our partner countries in Africa, for example. And of course, they want to have opportunities for their own citizens. For example, they want investments in infrastructure, they want job opportunities for the young population. And of course, we should also make sure that we can have some labor migration to Europe. We need to offer that. But at the same time, of course, we need to have these countries cooperating with us. When we have citizens that don't have the right to asylum in Europe, of course, we need to have the opportunity to send them back. We need them to cooperate with us, and this is, of course, sometimes tough.
Frontex's Lars Gerdes also notes the need to protect the victims, the migrants themselves. The border and coastal forces to increase to 10,000 officers assisting national governments when needed.
We are supposed to grow the standing corps up to 10,000 standing corps officers. We have several operations in the eastern, central and western Mediterranean. And the member states there, Spain, Italy especially, and Greece, we support with staff, with border guards, but also with maritime assets. We also have assets in the air, like drones and planes. And we also have access to satellite pictures over the Mediterranean and the coastal areas. And that's how we contribute to the situational awareness, to border guarding, but also to search and rescue operations.
Frontex says the main surge of migrants over the past year was through the Mediterranean.
In 2023. We had an increase in particular in the Central Mediterranean route, almost 50% compared to 2022. Also on the Western Africa route that originally had small numbers, now they increased by 160%. So this is the route from Western Africa to the Canary Islands. And also in the Western Mediterranean, it is growing. Altogether, the numbers are higher than 2016.
Weaponizing migration is what some countries are dealing with, like Lithuania and other countries bordering Russia and Belarus. Raso Yuknovishyena calls it a cynical strategy of Vladimir Putin and Belarusian cohort Alexander Lukashenko.
Lukashenko regime, of course, I am sure that Kremlin was behind. They organized tourist trips from Iraq, from other countries. So-called tourist companies from Belarus, of course, they are under the control of secret services of Belarus. They were looking for tourists from those countries. Those people bought tickets to see the famous places of Minsk. They were provided with planes, with everything. And immediately after that, after one or two nights in Minsk, they were provided or even followed together with the people from secret services and those who know the way. They were pushed to our border.
So how does the Migration and Asylum Pact deal with migrant instrumentalization? Is it enough?
This migration pact is the first step, but still I think that at the end, every single national member state can organize security and defense and also protection against instrumentalization when migration is used as instrument. I feel that some political groups in European Union, they still live in not in the real world, maybe not understand the real change which happened in 2022 when Russia attacked Ukraine. We have to be much more concerned on our security, be it hybrid attacks using, for example, migration, or hard security tools like military.
And how is Finland dealing with Russia's weaponization of migrants? Sharing a 1,300-kilometer border with Russia and facing anger from Moscow for recently joining the NATO Defense Alliance, here's Henna Virkkunen.
We were expecting something like that because Russia has been using all kind of different hybrid operations, and we were expecting also that that kind of activities we will face also in our border. So we were prepared for that, but now as a first reaction, Finland has closed the border. So now we are looking at how Russia is responding for that. But of course, we would like to have a possibility for border crossing, but it's not possible if Russia is sending migrants to our border and organizing that. And they are really using migrants as a weapon there.
So how does the Migration and Asylum Pact deal with Finland's predicament?
Now we will have harmonized rules on our external borders, because it's problematic if we don't have common rules and if all the member states who are having external border, if they are having a little bit different processes on their border. So I think it's very important that now we have taken this difficult step forward.
Tackling migration is a key issue in European elections. The EPP group is led with concrete, balanced and practical solutions, says Paolo Rangel.
EPP was crucial to have this asylum and migration pact. This was decisive for us to show that there is an alternative to the responsibility of the left and to some, I'd say, very, very narrow-minded solutions from the populists of radical right.
Finding a European answer to an issue affecting all the EU27 requires leadership, says Thomas Tobe.
For us, it means to take a more pragmatic approach. Yes, every member state has to contribute. We're all part of the same union, we all have the same external border, and we all, of course, have to contribute. But it will be different. For some, it will mean relocation, but for some, it also means that you give more of economic support. And I think to have this flexible solution, but every member state contributing, that was really the key thing and a huge success, I would say, also for EPP.
Whether driven by traffickers, fleeing hardship, or weaponized by governments, migrants and asylum seekers are victims, requiring compassion and fair treatment under international and European law. At the same time, the EU needs to better secure its borders with a migration and asylum pact that takes a balanced approach. That's why migration remains a key issue for Europeans and for the EPP group. So that's all for this episode of our special podcast series, Europe That Protects You. Make sure you join us next week as we dive into another burning topic with our guests. For more, follow us via @EPP Group.